I'd like to give the bigger picture because we're in a time that it's the most amazing time in history for the Great Commission. And I watch what has happened since that wave vision when I was 20 years old. And at that time, I was almost 21, but it was on a Wednesday afternoon. And it's just as clear today as it was then in my memory. And so I've watched the waves, and each wave is bigger than the last, year after year after year. I was showing some leaders last night in Christchurch the charts of YWAM's growth, and everything is just like that, just continual. And no businessman can understand it because you go down, and you go up, and you go down, and so on. But it's been a constant growth from the beginning. I like to challenge the YWAM leaders here, too. I think you can do a little better. I was able to double our staff in one day. I got married. So it's time for you to double your staff. All right. Yeah, let everybody get married. I guess that's it. But I was telling someone up there, they said we met in YWAM, and I said, well, we have a very strict policy that everyone who meets their wife in YWAM, they have to pay me a dowry. I never tell how much. They just tell me how much they'll give, how much she's worth. That's why I do that. And you know, in all these 54 years, I haven't gotten one dowry. They all say, she's priceless. So that's the way it works. Anyway, but as I got that vision, I have watched the waves, not just of YWAM. There's a few million people that have been in YWAM short term. Let me have one of those waters. Yeah, there. Thank you. I've been doing a lot of talking in the last few weeks here. I'm 4 weeks in New Zealand, I think 27 locations. So it's nice to come and take a rest here on the Gold Coast. But as we're watching the waves grow, it's not just in YWAM, it's in all kinds, now churches and everybody's doing it. And it just is a thrill to me to see so many that are being a part of what God said is going to happen. And it wasn't that we would cause it. It was that if God's going to do it, we want to be a part of it. And that's what I'm going to tell you next. There's a wave coming that is so much bigger than anything you've ever seen. And this wave will be the largest wave in history. It'll be the awakening of a generation to why they were born. Those under 30 are going to come into something that they were born to be, and they will know it. And you'll see a great spiritual awakening for the glory of God. Now, I want to explain why. I just don't want to say, yes, I believe this is from the Lord, but I want to show you how I have seen God working along that line. But I first wanted to give you a mental picture of what that wave is like. Now, to go up to a big wave, I used to surf. We lived near Santa Monica Beach. And so I'd ride my bike down there and as a teenager, 12, 13, 14, 15. And as we'd go down there, all my buddies, you know, we always knew that the ninth wave was the big one, so we'd count it. Now, there's another group of surfers nearby. They said, no, it's the seventh wave. They were a different denomination. And the Malibu guys, they had the boards. We just had the skin on our chest, and we used that often. But when I saw those waves there out in the Caribbean, I started counting, naturally, and seeing the ninth wave would be the big one, then the breakdown of it. And so it didn't stop at that. It just kept going bigger and bigger and bigger. Now today, to get onto a big wave, you need a jet ski to take you up. And that's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to take us up there. And I'm going to appeal to you tonight. Don't miss this big wave. It'll be overwhelming in terms of it's not by our might or power. It's by His Spirit. And so His Spirit will take us up there if we're prepared spiritually. And as we're prepared spiritually, God is preparing us with tools. All kinds of tools are coming out now. There's quite a wave of tools being released. And I believe that we need to pray together tonight that this will be fully released, not partially, but fully released. And then we're going to have a DNA in June. Port Moresby, but what's the dates? 19th? 20th through 28th. We got flyers. We'll get them out to you. And Darlene and I are planning to be there in Port Moresby. And David Hamilton, is he one of the speakers? Anyway, we'll have a good time. And it'd just be great, wouldn't it, to be on this vessel for a DNA. How about that? All right. Well, I can't promise it, but you pray for it, and we'll see. But when we see what the big wave is coming, we're going to have lots of vessels. Yes. And I just was on the Pacific Hope over in Tauranga and going through it, and Darlene and I both were chipping the old paint off. And so I got a little bit of the part in it, but I can't find any paint to chip here. It's already made, so God's really wanting to speed something up. But as you see this big wave, I want you to note you have to have commitment. This guy literally has his feet tied in a way he can't get off of that surfboard. And that's what we need to be. Let's see that picture. Get where you can see it. Now that's the jet ski taking him up to the top of this forming wave. That's where we are right now in our spiritual walk. Notice he's tied to that surfboard. Well, that's not so big. I've been on waves that big. No, I haven't. Wait a minute. That's getting big. He's been going quite a while, and it's still building. Wow. Oh, boy. Wow. Now, that's a wave. You know, he's been going quite a while, hasn't he? Whoa. Wait a minute. Talk about a thrill. Now, there's something else about these waves. They eventually will cover you up. We're going out in the front of it at first, and then we get surrounded by the move of God. But keep going. You might even, oh yeah, he came out again. But eventually, this will totally, we'll just blend in with the wave of God. I want to leave that image in your mind, because that's what's happening. It's what's going to happen, but it's happening. We're at the buildup right now. And let me just take you quickly through the years. This is by Dr. David Barrett's research and Dr. Ralph Winters. In the book of Isaiah, it says in chapter 9, verse 7, to the increase of his kingdom or his government, there will be no end. That's to the increase. Now, that was 600 years before Christ that was prophesied. And since Christ, there has never been a generation that did not have an increase in ratio that was greater than the increase of population. Now, you think about this. One out of 360 were believers within the first 100 years. Now, that means at that time, with 2 to 300 million people on earth, one out of 360 were already believers. By 1,000 years after, one out of 220, notice the ratio. And by 1,500, one out of 69. But then something amazing happened as population is climbing, because 1900, there was 1 billion people for the first time, and one out of every 27 were already believers. If you know your history, you'll know why. And then I'll jump to the last one that they did. By 1980, 4.5 billion people were living on Earth. That's an increase of population. 3.5 billion people increase from 1 billion to 4.5 billion in 80 years. So that's two generations of what we call Bible generations. I keep biting my tongue. I guess I'm still hungry. And get away from that. Got to eat some better. Anyway, by that time, one out of every 11 were now believers. Notice it's gathering like this. Now, by this time, we have lots of Christian cultures. And so people say, well, I'm Norwegian, I'm Swiss, I'm, you know, therefore I'm Christian. But that's one out of three on Earth. So one out of 11 believers following the Lord. Now, where do you think it's going next with 7 billion people? Are you ready for it? Now, we don't want to build towers like Babel, made out of bricks. Everybody looks alike and everybody acts alike and does alike. You know, Simon says, wrapped in fossil fuel, tar. We want to build altars, and we spread it out. And that's why I went. And not one ship, but many ships. And as we go through this time, you're going to see a big release that it's happening now. And I usually show the pictures of around the world. We have about 16 vessels now. And as this spreads further, it's to reach the ones that are most isolated. 1,600 islands in Pacifica. That's from Australia up to the area of Micronesia. So Micronesia, Melanesia, Polynesia has 1,600 populated islands that we know about. And we think it's going to grow a little more as our map guys are working on that. But there are some of those islands, like Lib Island, that has never had anyone visit them, according to the Prime Minister of the Marshall Islands. They've not had one visitor in 10 years. Of any kind. All right, one of our vessels is going there now. The Hawaii Aloha is going there. And they have doctors aboard and those that can care for their needs and so on, both physically, but most of all spiritually. This is our front porch. It's a part of who we are and where we are. We've got to do something about it. Now, no businessman's going to, in his right mind, try to make a profit on an island with 320 people. That's just not done. And governments are not doing it. Who's going to do it? I'm a missionary. You're a missionary. We've got to be the ones that do that. So as we watch this growth, it's absolutely phenomenal to see what happens over a period of time. We were in our prayer groups there in Lausanne in 1973, and in the little group I was in, we break up into small ones so everybody gets to hear each other, but also be a confirmation. It was a mixed group of many nationalities, but somebody got the word in there, and it was confirmed by others that there was just six of us, but that we were to give away 100,000 Bibles to the GIs, the American military in Germany. And of course, as an American, I thought this was rather interesting that it would come from other nations. And so we began to pray for that. And as we prayed, the Lord spoke to me, contact Dr. Kenneth Taylor, the translator of the Living Bible. I didn't know him. I didn't know where he was. I didn't know where his headquarters was. I had no idea. So I called Brother Andrew over in Holland, my friend, and many, many years. And I said, Andrew, do you know how I could meet with Dr. Kenneth Taylor? He said, sure, come over Saturday. He's at my house. Now, this was Monday. I got a call back from Andrew, and he said, Kenneth Taylor is in Greece, Athens. He wants you to call him there, but he has to urgently go home tomorrow to Chicago. And so I called him, and I said, are you going to be in Central Europe anytime on your way home tomorrow? He said, yes, Germany, for 2 hours at Frankfurt. So the next day I met him by the plane, and I told him what had happened in our prayer meeting the day before. He said, that's interesting. How did you hear God? He's a man of God, and he was testing. And I told him. He said, well, that's interesting because I have 100,000 Bibles left over from a Billy Graham crusade. Now, he said they cost me $6 each just to print them. That's $600,000. And he said, but I'm going to give them to you, but you'll have to get them shipped from Chicago to Germany. So I said, okay, no problem. Right. Cost almost that amount just to ship them. So I called my friend, Colonel Ammerman. Now, he was the chaplain over all the chaplains of the V-Corps Army. The relationships you're making are all very important. He had been a teacher on leadership. We had him over in Lausanne. And as such, I just called him and I said, Jim, I have a vision I want to share with you. This was Tuesday. And he said, come on over. Charlene will make you a nice dinner and stay overnight with us. I said, okay. All white women's like that. And so I shared it with him. And he said, oh, your timing is so good. Yes, of course. I planned it out months ahead. This was yesterday, God told us. And I'm speaking of spontaneity here to a group that were very spontaneous. Thank you for coming. And we planned it for months. He said, tomorrow, all the generals are meeting together. He said, none of them know the Lord. And they've asked me to give a devotional. And because he was the head preacher in the military there, the chaplain. He said, instead, I'm going to introduce you. You give them the gospel and then give your vision to them. And he said, the top guy will say yes or no, and all the others vote and agree with him. That's the way a military works. It's all democratic. And so I did, and they did, and they said yes. As a result, we had two other miracles. The Navy, U.S. Navy, brought over some of them, the Air Force the other. But the general said, whichever way you bring them over, we will meet with our green trucks and distribute them through all the camps, then let the YWAMers come in and hand them out personally. So that's what we did. Now, in the process, while we were giving them away, every day at the breakfast, lunch, and supper, they were reading the Bible over the public address system in every camp, in every cafeteria. That came as a mandate, an order from the Pentagon. I had no idea how that happened. And then I learned it was John Broger, who was a friend of my dad's. And he was one of the three founders of Far East Broadcasting Company in Manila, FEBC. And when he had finished getting that going, the military called him back in, and he became head over all internal communication. Heard about our Bible distribution, of course. They hear everything, even listening on your phones tonight. And and so, as a result, doesn't it make you feel safe? That's wonderful. Anyway, And so he sent the order out, and man, everybody did it. And so fast forward, 2003, my father passed away. At the funeral, Chaplain Ammerman and his wife came to pay their respects. And following that time, he said, Lauren, you know the 1973 move of God, so many got saved, and it was a move of God like I've never seen in the military up till that time. But he said, we had done a survey when we went into the military of how of the top echelon of the military, majors, colonels, generals. And he said, we could find almost nobody in that level were believers. He said, it was terrible. And then we just did another one 30 years later. And it's full. Generals, lots of them are saved. Lots of them are colonels and majors. They're all saved. So we did another follow-up and say, when did you accept the Lord? And he said, the vast majority said, in 1973, when the Bibles were distributed in Germany. Wow. How much credit did we get? We prayed one morning. We obeyed the second two or three days. And then we handed out Bibles like crazy. But God did the rest. He gave the increase. There's something about the Bible that has a power beyond what we understand. And this is really important that we get this deep in our souls. Because I've watched all the movements rise, and I'm so thrilled with it. For example, the prayer movement. It's, you know, it just keeps growing and growing and growing. And Jack Hayford said he knows of no one person more than Joy Dawson who has been the spark, the catalyst for this move. You talk to Mike Bickle, you talk to the other leaders, and they'll all talk about that. So there's something that came out of down under that God wants to multiply around the world. Another one is worship. I watched Dave and Dale Garrett. They blame me for pulling them out into the nations. But they spread scripture and song all over the world. It sparked something in the hearts of people. And we're still riding that one big wave. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Like the prayer movement. The same with evangelism. The same with mercy ministries. The same with, it goes right on through. But you know the one, it's, you know, like you have a tooth missing right up front. And it's not missing, but there's a big gap. And that's Bible distribution. Now, the Dear Gideons, they are doing the amazing job. And they keep getting a little more and a little more. But they're not keeping up with population growth. And that's the one area that the Lord said to me a few years ago, I want to close that gap. Now, here's why. David Hamilton, many of you know who he is, but he's a great researcher of the Word. And I kept asking him about this word. Jesus said, I have all authority in heaven and earth. Go therefore and disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So with that, how do you baptize a nation? Well, maybe we'll go to sprinkling. That's easier. But you got sprinkled by that cyclone, sure enough, didn't you? Speaking of good weather. And, yeah. But how do you disciple a nation? How is it possible to baptize a nation? So David, you know, he's so detailed. He goes into it and finds all the baptisms in the New Testament. So his baptism of fire, baptism into the body, all kinds of baptism. And then he notices the difference between the baptisms, like bapto and baptizo in the Greek. So he goes back and he finds a recipe book in ancient Greek. And he sees that you bapto a salad. and make it better by putting vinegar and oil on it. But you take a cucumber and you don't bapto it, you baptizo it. And you soak it for a long period of time until it becomes a pickle. Now that's the word Jesus used. Soak a nation until they're pickled. Let's pickle Australia. Let's pickle the islands. Let's pickle New Zealand. Because we need to soak them in the Word of God. How many ways can we do that? Well, you've got all these ways. You have drama. You have, of course, we're going to pray. We're worshipers. That's all important. But we have filmmaking. We have ways that you can hear on audio. They found with two different groups going to two different areas. They tried out the Jesus film and talking to people and getting a commitment to Jesus. Came back 1 year later, 2% still were faithful. They then, with another group, they took in the Jesus film, gave them the gospel, saw them make a commitment, came and then said, now take this Bible. They had one that they could hear because they couldn't read. And which one of you, 10, they'd break it up into groups of 10. How many of you, who would be your leader? And they'd all point to one. Okay, so as a result, they said to him, now every day, start your day out with listening to the Bible. And then talk about it and what it means. And then pray for each other. 1 year later, not 2%, 200%. And they said, how did you grow like this? They said, well, it says tell others. So we did that, and we showed them what we do, and they started doing that, and they grew to 200%. Now, we're sending out teams now from Kona, and it does seem like every one of them has, you know, a handheld, and some of them are a little bigger, called Samsung. And but they all, we just sent out 500, and we broke them up into teams of 10. And so they went to 50 different nations, including all continents, not Australia, sorry. But they went to 50 nations with unreached people groups, and they all had on their handheld the Jesus film. And it was in the language of the people they were going to. The Jesus film is now in over 1,200 languages, but now they've got a new way that they're putting it out, and they'll have it in all 7,000 languages of the world soon. And so that's coming on really fast now. And so with the Jesus film, they have it, and they hold it in front of people at a, let's say, a marketplace, you know, in the some village area, and they said, is this your language? And they go, oh, we never have a film in our language. Would you like it? Yes. Give me your email. I'll send it to you right now. Oh, would you? Yes. Okay. And it's free. And would you like a book in your language too? Okay, here's the Bible. It's God's word for every area of life. We'll send that to you free. And so they get a Bible, they get a Jesus film, and I better get one of my books. The first book is now 124 languages. And so we're going to have to work to get it in 7,000, though. Anyway, but as we watch what is happening, we tell them now, give it to everyone in your group that speaks your language. Everyone in your country that speaks that language, give it to them free and give them the book free. In other words, we're starting a virus without a vaccination. Isn't that a good idea? It's a good kind of virus. Now, as we begin to do that, we also have backpacks for the teams, and they go out and they can put up a big screen and serve 2,000 people, 1,000 on each side of the screen. We have these little speakers that big, and it'll cover the entire 2,000 people. And we have a projector. It's just like a fat Samsung. And that's all the size it is, and it'll cover that 2,000 people. Or you can get one less than $1,000. That's $3,000. You can get one for less than $1,000 for 200 people. So we're trying to get across every village of Nepal. And there are 14,000, almost 15,000 villages in Cambodia. And I was there across the nation last year. And there, the pastors everywhere are talking about, let's finish 1,500. We got to have a church in every village. And they're on their way. We can see amazing things. In India, they've doubled the population of Christians in the last 15 years. Double. And that's the Dalit movement and other movements that's going on. And in China, we've been meeting with the leaders of China, house church movement. And were any of you in Hong Kong in July when 24,000 came out? I guess none of you there. Well, if you were Chinese, you could. Anyway, they came out and Beijing allowed it, and they allowed the top five fathers, they call them, of these 80 million Christians to come out as well. So we met with them ahead of time, and it was a glorious time. And then we were part of the big event, and I got to challenge them because they're going to send out 1 million missionaries. And YWAM is working with them. Then the fathers came to Kona last month, February, and we spent many days. It was just exhausting but exhilarating. And mapping out what it would take in one generation to send out 1 million missionaries. Understand there's less than 500,000 counting all missionaries, Protestant, Catholics right now. 1 million coming out of one nation. Think of what this is. I'm talking about a big wave. Now, what is the one key thing that's still missing? In 2000, Wycliffe had just finished their research and said it'd take 150 years to start the last language on earth without a Bible. 150 years. We didn't agree. Anyway, we've started meeting together with them, and now it's 17 of the larger movements in the world, mission movements. And we meet 3 times a year. We start praying for Wycliffe. We pray for each other. But it's one of the tightest unities, and yet there's diversity in it, tremendous diversity. No one gives up their calling, but we serve one another. And within our gifts and callings, our DNA. And so as we're doing this, Roy Peterson then, he announced at our meeting in 2010 at Kona. They often come to Kona for one of the three meetings. And in fact, we have Wycliffe leaders there at least once a month in Kona. We're doing a project just for the 1,600 islands. 426 languages don't have a Bible. And so we're convinced that by 2020, we're going to have them all a Bible. And we're working very, very hard on that to make sure it happens. So with that, Roy Peterson stood and he said, well, God's really been working among us. And we've been given all kinds of new technologies, social networking, other ways that we're putting together for translating the Bible. And instead of 150 years, we can announce now we'll be on the last language in 15 years. That's 2025. So we're all clapping and cheering, you know, and when it all settled down, I'm the eldest of the group, so I get away with things. I said, Roy, that's not good enough. It's got to be 2020. Everybody laughed but me. Roy came to me recently and he said, everything's speeding up, Lauren. I think we're going to get your number. Seems like God's in a hurry. Now, who is it? What generation is going to do all this? What happened in history 500 years ago? 20 languages in one part of the world all got the Bible in one generation. That gave birth to the Western civilization. We talk about Protestant and so on, that's a negative term. But you don't win by only defense and all of that stuff. And I think we often get off on one issue as though that was the issue. Jesus is the issue, don't get off of that. If I be lifted up, he'll draw all men to himself. Jesus said, there will not be utopia until I come back. He said, when you sow wheat, the enemy will sow tare. So what do? We go and rip up the tare. No, he said, don't do that. You'll rip up wheat thinking it's tare. You'll leave tare thinking it's wheat. You'll make a mistake. It's like the enemy. He starts a fire. So we all go off to put out the fire, and then he starts another, and pretty soon we're way out there, far from our post where the Lord's called us. Be careful. Be careful on this. And as you do things as anointed of God, you must realize there's a climbing thing that's happening big, and dark is going to get darker, light gets lighter, but Jesus is winning all the time. To the increase of his kingdom, there'll be no end to the increase. That's not the kingdom. Of course, that won't end. But the increase of his kingdom, it's happened since for 2,000 years. Why is it going to stop now? That's this big wave that's coming in front of us, and it's already building. And we're being led to the top of this thing, preparing in every way possible for such an influx. And we've got to do that because it's going to be the biggest thing we've ever participated in. And don't worry, it's not going to be just YWAM. It's many groups have to get involved. And when that happens, we're going to see something bigger than we could ever ask or think. But how did it happen 500 years ago? We'll be celebrating this in 2017. They call that the historic day. But in reality, it was a buildup. Now, when 20 languages got the Bible, in one generation, they had to have it distributed because it was in the mother tongue. Now, before that, it was in Latin. And I took Latin. I remember the only thing I learned was Latin is a language dead. It's dead as it can be. It used to kill the Romans. Now it's killing me. But most people never learned Latin. There was no way that all of them could read the Bible. They were illiterate. But when it came to their mother tongue, they all wanted it because it was the Bible in their mother tongue. I don't want to get it filtered through somebody else. I want it. And so, as a result, God raised up a man called Gutenberg. That's a good Korean name. He was German. All right. So, Kim. You know, one out of six Koreans are named Kim. And so, K-I-M. They are so blessed. I got this long Cunningham, you know. And they just write Kim. But when you see what God can do with a printer printing the Bible, he said, I want the Bible to be the first book I print on my press. And that's what he did. So now it can be distributed. And now among those 20 different language groups, they all wanted to learn how to read. And so literacy grew. That led to educational growth and leadership. That's why the West has had leadership in education now for centuries. They also, Francis Bacon was a God-loving, Bible-reading Christian, is the father of modern science. So we're top five sciences. They were all Bible-believing, loving Jesus Christians. God inspiring them into science and technology. So the West still has leadership in that. And you watch what happened over these 500 years. Out of that came Industrial Revolution. And why? The worship leaders are the ones that really gave them the clue of what to do. Because worship leaders always learn to, you know, they always want to get higher decibels and bigger sounds for God. And that's what happened back then. They made the pipe organ. Man, they could rattle the windows now. And so the industrialists say, oh, well, maybe we can do that with steam. And so you got the steam engine. And that gave leadership to the economy of the world. They look at the music, classical music. Where do you think it came from? What about Michelangelo? He just dream up those pictures? No, he was painting the stories of the Bible. And go on and on through that, and then drama, and from Shakespeare to Hollywood. And you begin to see the leadership came. Yes, there's lots of weeds in it, but there's a lot of wheat. But now as the West is turning away from it, I was saying to a journalist from mainland China, interviewing me, and I said, I believe China's going to become the number one leader in the world in this century if they continue to turn toward God and the Bible at their present rate, because they are the fastest growing in the world, and that the West continues to turn away from Jesus and the Bible. And they will pass each other during this century. But what God would rather have, I know his heart is shown in the Bible, it's shown in us, it's shown in many ways, and that is that both turn toward God in the Bible. Now that's our role. Now if God could do from 20 languages only in one region, getting a Bible, creating a civilization that all of us have been blessed by. None of you would want to be a king or in a palace compared to where you live now. Not even at a Y1 base. You know, I mean, back there, we bought a 16th century palace, you know, a castle in Germany. We have now two in Germany. And they didn't have running water. You ran for it. I guess that's running water. They had no toilet inside. Think of a blizzard going on. And, no, don't think of it. And I don't want to put that image in your mind. But there's problems. They didn't have a cell phone even. They didn't even have a wire phone. They didn't have television, radio. You go on and on. And those coal buggies that they had, you know, behind a horse. Looking at the rear end of a horse all day while you're traveling across the country. And that was only the rich guys that got to do it. It took 300 years for the Renaissance to go from France just up to Holland. Now everything's moving at nanoseconds. So when you understand where we are in history, we're going to have a Bible in one generation for 7,000 mother tongues. What do you think's going to happen if 20 got it, now 7,000 gets it? We need Gutenberg. No, we got Googleberg. I just before coming down to New Zealand, end of March, wherever I am. And we had a whole group of CEOs from Korea. Now, Korea has the broadest band in the world. They have the usage of the internet per capita more than any nation on earth. And there were 1,000 IT companies in Korea that were vying for number one spot. The number one guy and his company is a wonderful Christian. And he's now been put in that place serving Samsung for all of their IT. And so as during the time that this was going on, all these guys were politicking and everything. And he was at our YWAM IT Mission Conference, November 17th through the 19th. He was there for God. Monday, they announced his company won. He's that kind of guy. He's already animated the Genesis creation for children. So when they were there in Kona, I had to leave them, but they spent a week there praying and working with Chung Ho and others. And so as they were there, I challenged them when the 7,000 languages, when everyone comes on to, you know, ready to be published, that they would put it onto the internet. And they're weeping before the Lord and saying, yes, we will do this. Now, these are competitors. They were different companies, top companies. And they're saying, well, now your company can do this best, yours and this. And they were working it out, how to work together to get the Bible onto the internet as soon as it is translated. The second challenge I gave them, would you animate the top 80 stories of the Bible, one for the children and one for the adults. And the Bible is 83% narrative, that meaning stories, metaphors, and parables. And so I said, now when you get that done, I've got another one, that's 800 of the rest of them, so that the whole Bible would be animated on the internet. Wouldn't that be neat? And then you go up and you hold up your little phone and say, what's your language? Yeah, okay, here it is. And not just the Jesus film, but animation, the whole works, and we give it away. We distribute it to the little islands. But you say, how's that going to work? There's 3 billion people that are not on the internet. Think of that. And there's the O3B movement. These are the top 7 IT companies, including Google and AT&T and others, have come together and said, we're going to give away a handheld to 3 billion people so that everybody can be on the internet. Now, if you take one of theirs, you got to look at Coca-Cola's, you know, and Nike and all kinds of advertising before you get to use it every time. But everybody can be on the internet. But what about the low-flying satellites? Well, Motorola and Bill Gates, they put low-flying satellites up there, and that's what's used on the ship right now. They have a satellite phone. I used one down in the Antarctic. I was in both the Antarctic and the Arctic the same year, so I'm now bipolar. I've been hearing other people brag that they were, and now I get to be. But this means there's some filling in that has to be done. But I was down there using that phone. Businessman said, Lauren, anywhere you need to call. Thank you. But you had to go outside. It's kind of cold down there. And it's clear as a bell. You know, I could talk on the telephone. But now, Facebook is sending up, they're going to try drones to fill in any vacant spot. Here's a neat story for YWAMers. 3 of our YWAM kids, David Hamilton's one of his son, and Bill Burtness, his twin boys, worked together to get a satellite that would be cheap to put up for missions. And NASA got a hold of this, and they courted them, tried to hire them. They got a higher calling than NASA. NASA's only Mars. And so the NASA just sent up a rocket with several satellites for communication, and theirs were among it. Isn't that neat? God's giving us technology. And there's another problem. Now, they can hear the word if we read all the Bibles. You know, people read it in their languages, 7,000 languages. That we can do. I just finished reading my first book in a studio, and so you can get it on iTunes, and it's on in 50 different stores. They tell me, so I don't know. I have to go to my grandkids to find those stores because they're on the internet. But anyway, we have also been given by Mercedes-Benz engineers. They've been engineering a truck for us. There's over 100 of them in the truck division that pray together daily in Stuttgart. And so a few of them have taken on this project, and it'll take 34,000 Bibles. It also has showers, toilets, bunk beds, and kitchen. And it also has a stage that comes down with high tech. And we're hoping to get it delivered this summer in August in Germany, in Bad Blankenburg. And I'm speaking there during that time to the gatherings of that used to be a center, headquarters for evangelical believers and leaders. And that's where kindergarten was first born, right there, by a Christian. So kindergarten, that's why it's a German name, and it's gone all over the world. And so God wants to give us new things, new things, new things. And this is one of those. And that's for the people above 30 years of age or 40 years of age that aren't on the internet yet. So we got to get to every home. And this is our 2020 vision. I want to show you a video here in just a moment. But one of my, I want to point out, there's 26 different kinds of ministries. These are not all our ministries, even in Kona, but these are, almost all of them are from Kona. But it shows you different ways that we're working to get the Word of God out into this society. Now, it'll start out with 25,000 population people groups that have no Bible. And we started actually with 639 people groups of 100,000 population or more into the millions. And that was in 07. And working together and call to all, that number has been reduced from 639 that had no church, no convert, no missionary, no Christian whatsoever. And now that's down to 15. That's from 2007. So we had to come down to 50 and above, 50,000 population. Now we're down to 25. So we start with this on 25. But one of them is Uniscript. Now, just by listening to God, because we hit the same wall that every linguist hits, and that wall is this. When you look at the languages, there's pictorial languages, that is, it's a picture, like in Chinese, if you say the word man, it looks like a man. While in the language we're presently using, and hopefully you're understanding, is it's all phonemes, it's sounds. And we take the word F, you know, and it's a F or a Z or a Z, it's this, you know. And so we use that Z sound. But how do you put the two together? For hundreds of years, linguists have tried. We had a prayer meeting going on. 20 of us were there. And as we were praying, the Lord just spoke to me and said, go lay hands on David Hamilton. Now, they could have laid hands on me, but I'd have gotten the answer, but it leaked out. He's smart enough to hold it and know what God's given him. But he's never studied linguistics. So we went over and laid hands on him, and he got it less than 10 seconds. What linguists have tried for hundreds of years, he got it in less than 10 seconds. And so he said, I got it, I got it. And he began to write out what he'd gotten. And he called for Marcia, who's one of the best-trained linguists in the world. She's world-class, according to the secular linguists, and she speaks 17 languages too. She's with her husband's a linguist. They've been living in the Amazon for 27 years, I think it is. And so she's, you know, picking up all these languages. And so she, David called her and said, "You got to come up. We got the answer. God gave it to us." All the way up, she was praying, "Lord, help me comfort David. I know this is impossible." So God has to get somebody that hasn't gotten in the box to sometimes hear outside the box. Well, God gave us the Uniscript. That's what we call it. And but we put different languages in Hawaiian. It's called Hale'o. But it's in 14 languages now. We started with an easy language, Mandarin. And the idea was 70% of all Chinese cannot read a Bible, even if you give it to them. 70%, because it takes 9,000 characters memorized to read a Bible in Chinese. So how are they going to read? And they can listen, but they can't read. And so that literacy is very important. They're subliterate or illiterate. And now we're teaching them in 6 hours in Uniscript, they can read Mandarin. They have to know Mandarin because they hear it and see it at the same time. That's what Uniscript is. And we take the side view of the face and show all the 11 places for consonants and then the vowels, the air that goes over it and so on. But they can see it and also hear it. And that's the amazing thing. But, you know, Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me, I'll answer you." God answered us. But there's a second part to that. "I'll show you great and mighty things which you don't know." We didn't even know to ask. And so one of the girls, Debbie Rotier, maybe some of you know her, her daughter, 13, is a hopeless dyslexic. And she was over with her mother in Kona for a few weeks. And she wanted something to do, and they said, "Well, work with the Uniscript team." So the Uniscript team, she speaks English. "Well, here, we'll teach you how to put English into the Uniscript." So she was working on it, and suddenly she's no longer dyslexic. Well, she went home to Montana base and told her best friend, taught her how. She was cured just like that. She went to the state science fair, won first place, telling how she got freed from dyslexic. And then we had a six-year-old child. She spoke French in Kona. And she couldn't read one word. So they gave her a setup so that 15 minutes a time she could have Uniscript, and because they'd heard of these others. And she had her first 15 minutes, went home and read in French the little children's book to her folks for the first time. She had not been able to read one word. So some scientists heard about this over in California, and 14 of them got together with reading disabilities in their clinics and in universities and so on. They got together, Marcia went over, and she began to teach them what this was and what is happening. And so they said, "Okay, now none of you use it in your clinics, and we'll meet back next Wednesday, and we'll set up a protocol." Well, when they came back, one lady said, "I'm sorry, I broke covenant." And this girl came into my clinic Monday morning, and she was just hopeless. So I taught her Uniscript, and she's cured. So now the scientists know this is happening among them. But right now, they're finishing up in June a 6 months protocol where, with the hypothesis that you have it in your brain, but the one side of the brain doesn't talk to the other on this, so it's there all the time. But when they get this Uniscript, it's so simple for people to learn so quickly, then it tells the brain, English is a code too. And so the brain, wakes up and gets it across to the other side. So we're watching this. Stroke victims now, there's a stroke specialist for this. thinks that they can teach them how to speak after they've had a stroke. Now, the implant of the ear, you know, is cochlea. And one of the 14 scientists now is vice president of that company, and she's contacted us. She said, what we're having is problems with the older ones. They can't speak to people so they understand them, even though they're hearing. And so she said, I'm sure that this is an answer for that. I just heard on television, Sky TV News, Saturday, and they were saying that the government is going to sponsor any child up to age 6. But after that, they run into problems. This is the problem they're talking about. And here we have the answer in prayer that we didn't even know to ask for. And Charles Schwab is one of the richer men in America, and he's a hopeless dyslexic. He's put up $100 million for to study and find an answer to dyslexia. And but he said, but I will not give to a religious organization. And he lives 45 minutes from us. Anyway, this will be interesting, won't it? But anyway, I'm just watching what God's doing. You want to see a little bit of this? It's just 4 or 5 minutes here. We have 600 locations for the University of the Nations now in 160 nations. So this can spread right across the world. But with that, we need the twin. And the twin is the ship. The ships that are out there, we need little ships, big ships, all kinds of ships, but not the huge ships. We really need to get into places where there's only 700 and some out of the 1,600 islands populated, only just over 700 airstrips altogether. So we know we have to have vessels. And I love that chapter, you know, 2 Kings 5, bring vessels, not a few. And that's what we're going to do. We need about 40 of them. Can you believe God for 40? Yeah. Look around. There's 40 right here, just in this harbor. No, you can't do it that way. You've got to do it God's way. All right. So as we think about this, understand what this one is. This is more than just a vessel that will be used medically and spiritually and so on through the islands, especially PNG. But think about this as a symbol and also a, come on, let's get to it. We've got to have lots of vessels. Vessels, not a few. And I believe God's going to allow us to do that for His glory, His purposes, and His call upon YWAM. So, yes, be faithful where you are, but also keep your vision larger. You are local, but you're also global. Can you say glocal? Glocal. All right, you're glocal. That's what YWAM is. It's both global and local. And because of the various ways of transportation and all the rest, we can make this happen. I don't know whether you saw, this is going on right now. This is live on the internet. This is called GMO, Global Mission Outreach. You can get it on GreatCommission2020.com. But notice down at the bottom, the visiting, this starts over every 24 hours, so California time. And with that, since the last, while we've been sitting here and maybe 3 hours before, 312,000 people have visited the site. This is Google's number one customer now. They have 170 different portals. And they have visited the site, giving them the gospel on the internet. Then 25,000 so far in the last 5 hours have indicated they have given their hearts to Jesus. Now, out of that, 16,528 have sent in their email address and say, what do I do next? So they have now millions that have done this. They've seen as high as 1 million in a month come to Christ. This is 2 years ago. And it's just growing and growing and growing all over the world. Those are symbols of where it's happening. It's happening too fast to put it all the blinking lights on the screen. But that's symbols where it's happening all over the world. A portion of them are showing up on the screen. So when you look at that, and this is the ministry of the tribe, and we need others to get on board and get new kinds of ways to do this, but we need to be giving ourselves at least 2 hours a week or some way to follow up all of these names, and we can give it to you according to where they are located in the world as well, so that we can say, in your town, these people have asked for follow-up. So there's a whole thing that we can do. Another one is your meeting, teaching the Bible in the public schools that you have here, still legally, right? And so we need to do all that God is showing us. So what does that mean? We've got to multiply. And multiply comes out of fruitfulness. Be fruitful, then multiply, then fill the earth. We got to do all of that. And that's our task. It's a little task when you look at the big God that we have. Amen? Amen. Now, do you believe that we're going to have a big wave?
Yeah.
Do you want to be on the winning team?
Yeah.
That's the Jesus team.
Yeah.
So Jesus is winning. So pray for big vision and then be faithful to God and never look back. That truck vision was given to me 48 years ago. And it was 48 years before I saw that starting to come to pass. So 14 years, God gave me the vision in 1964 for the first ship. It was the Mercy ship with white and medical and all of that on it. And so this is just one of the others. But it was 14 years before we got the Anastasis. So when you understand, sometimes I started out with a quick one. You get a Bible to 100,000 GIs, you know. That one, man, that's fast. Let's do everything that fast. Whether it takes a short time or a long time, be faithful. God bless you. Lord, I want to pray now a special outpouring of your anointing. Pull us up, Lord, by your jet ski to the top of the big wave that's forming. God, we want to be there, even though it'll be scary looking down as the speed is there. It'll be, at times, diversion. Sanballats will say, come over here and talk to us, and here's another kind of thing that you can do instead. But, Lord, help us to stay in line with what you're doing and do it with all of our efforts for the glory of the Lord, meaning our mind, our soul, our spirit, our body, every part of us. We love you with our mind and our heart, our soul, our strength, and we want to use all of that for your glory, the extension of your kingdom. So now, just reach up a hand, or both hands, to the Lord. Lord, would you see the hands and the hearts as they're raised and fill them with your new anointing and your strength. In Jesus' name, amen.